Just for the benefit of the web listeners, we just listened to I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, a course by our very own U2. I think it was recorded in, Cormac, correct me, around 1987, thereabouts. And the video of it was shot in downtown Las Vegas. Very powerful video. And I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For describes something, and I'm so glad that they said it, and they got it before I did. They describe really well that restlessness that is in life, that is built in there to us. And you two are a phenomenal group, we know that, and they have packed stadiums all over the world. But for young men to be able to write lyrics like that at a young age is quite a phenomenal thing. In preparing this, I was reading an article somewhere, and they had been listening to gospel music as part of, presume, of their preparation as they were walking through what was the Joshua Tree. And they'd done all of that, and eventually they came up with the words of this song. And they are saying something that is very unpopular, but it is very real. That even in the Christian world, there is that restlessness within us. And it's there, and they felt it as young men. And often you'd hear, if that song was played, people would be automatically jumping in to judge the spiritual state of new life. That is not the purpose of this. I think they have hit the nail on the head at a much earlier age. And for me, anyway, I am very grateful for their observations, because they're putting into words what an awful lot of people have felt and are feeling this day. So they're looking for this thing, this restlessness, and as person like the rest of us, for meaning and purpose and contentment. Powerful song. But we begin, and I'm going to just look at this briefly because I don't have much time. Our search really this morning is for contentment. The only contentment that I'm interested in this morning is yours. You don't worry about anybody else's contentment, only your own. I say that is because we Christians are great to fix other people's contentment or to tell them how to do it. And we ourselves can be grossly discontented. So let us be contented, first of all. And if we can get there, we can something maybe to pass on to a few other lads. Is that fair enough? I think that's just fair. So contentment is what we're after. And we will end with contentment, and at least some attempt at it. That's what we will. But the song begins. And it says, it's the searching, and we understand this. I have climbed the highest mountains, I have run through the fields, only to be with you, only to be with you. There is searching in a most powerful way. No barriers held back, would you agree? It goes on to say this, I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls, only to be with you. So there's a search here that is relentless. They're searching, they're looking, and there's no hold bars. And that being said, so far, where has it led them to? But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And they repeat it again, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. They're describing what most people are looking for. A measure of contentment, among other things. Powerful lyrics, aren't they? Very powerful. Goes on to say this, I have kissed honey lips, felt the healing in the fingertips, it burned like fire, that burning desire. So, we would take it, that's love, romance, and all the things that go with it. And who hasn't tried that? A one ass who has got burned, that's for another day. but at least that's part of the search for contentment, isn't it? You know, and it's also part of the passage of life. The next one I didn't understand as much, but maybe you have a comment on it. I have spoken with the tongues of angels, I should say. I have held the hand of a devil. It was warm in the night, and I was cold as stone. And I suppose in many ways, it describes that people go to after all kinds of things, some things that are even destructive. And even that leads to a dead end. And they sum it up again. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I want to tell you, these are a young band that have impacted the world. There are probably millions of people over the whatever the span of time that you two have been performing, and these young men at the time have filled stadiums all over the place and still manage to do today. And they're talking about this restlessness. They're real and they're honest. So they come to us, serious Christian, and they said, well, we have tried everything. Do you have any advice for us? All right. This is where we go next. This is the next verse. Because this is our solution, right? This is our answer. We'll say, have you tried Jesus? Christianity. Correct? They said, I believe in the kingdom come, then all colors will bleed into one. But yes, I'm still running. I understand what it is you're trying to tell me. I understand the day of coming when things will be put right. I understand that. But there's more to it, we tell them. There's more to it. And the answer is back. This chorus. I understand something of what Jesus has done. You broke the chains, or you broke the bonds, and you have loosened the chains. Carried the cross of my shame, you know I believe it. No doubt, there has been something of a spiritual experience there. And where has all that led you? And what does all that mean to you? But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I'm convinced that the marketing department of Christianity, certainly the modern version, you know, may have oversold all the benefits right here, right now, of following Jesus. I'm beginning to think that. So that is you too. It's nearly, you could almost consider it a prayer, although when I say that, there'll be lads who'll call me a heretic. But it doesn't make any difference. That's as good as you're going to get. That's about as real and as honest and vulnerable before God you can get, isn't it? And so Jesus, I know it all, but I'm still haven't found what I'm looking for. As if he didn't know it already anyway. Or what they're actually doing is admitting to the actual restlessness of it. I don't know if he'd ever consider those lyrics before in that way, other than passing judgment on you two. Not saying that you have done that here. Very powerful. It's kind of a modern version of what Solomon was doing in Ecclesiastes, wasn't it? I've tried it, and nothing seems to be working for me. So I believe in the kingdom come that all colors will bleed into one, but yes, I'm still running. So there's an experience of God in all of that. There's an understanding of what Jesus has done. And there's a trusting in it. But in all of that, there's still this. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. There are very few churches that are evangelical that you could go in and admit that. And yet, it's often something that many people have to wrestle with. Maybe not all of the time, but it definitely is there a lot of the time. I don't think the Lord is a bit shocked when we're still searching, you know, Jesus, in fairness to you. I think he already knows this, as I've already said. So contentment, that's what we're after. So where do we go and what do we do with it? Well, Paul's advice to Timothy was But godliness with contentment is great gain. So if you go before God and say, look, I still haven't found there what I'm looking for as the prayer, and he gives you this back. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Would you be happy with that? You'd be looking for your money back. Or saying, is there anything else? But you could actually go off and that's all you get. I'll give you a modern version so that you'll feel you're getting some value, right? A godly life brings huge profits to people who are content with what they have. Maybe that's the marketing department again of modern Christianity. A godly life brings huge profits to people who are content with what they have. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We'll take that out there, right? Since you two sang the song out there in the real world. So we'll take that verse out there for a minute and we'll put it among our citizens of this country and we'll see if we can get them to buy it, right? Godliness with contentment is great gain. When you put up the word godliness in this country, right? Let me tell you what comes to most people's minds. I don't know what comes to your mind, right? But to the average person out there, godliness is this. Pretty much empty church, full of lads who are mature in years. That's what people think about. They think, ultimately, religion. That is godliness, and that's their view of it. Could be any church. And contentment, well, we're going more this way with contentment. We're going shopping. So that advice that Paul's giving is godliness with contentment is great gain. He says, what? You must be joking. You see, one of the things we need to learn is that contentment is an inside job. I will explain that to you in a minute. So, godliness with contentment is great gain. Tell me then, why are churches emptying? The picture up on the screen there is a church for sale. Why is it that many, many people who have gone to church have never found contentment? And pretty much have walked away. I know there's a whole generation coming up that don't go to church. But we'll leave those aside for a minute. There's an awful lot of people that have gone to church for many years. They don't go now because the pressure is off. But if you ask them if they found contentment in there, they tell you absolutely not. Most of them were bored out of their tree. And it's not just the main denominations. It happens in the evangelical churches as well. How many have come and gone down through the years looking for contentment? We don't say to Jesus, we still haven't found what we're looking for. It's just, we just don't show up. But it's the same thing. So where's everybody gone looking for contentment? This is where they've gone. We have filled our shopping centers. We're looking for contentment in materialism, in stuff, anything that will help us, and if we have the fear, Bob, we'll have a go at it. No, we're not giving anyone here a hard time about shopping. We're not. We understand the emptiness and trying to fill it. And there's an awful lot of people out there making an awful lot of money out of us telling us, have this, and you'll be contented. So the upgrade in the phone, the back camera is better. You know, it keeps us going for a few days. But then the discontentment comes back in again. It's nice if you want to upgrade your wardrobe into the spring fashion, whatever that looks like at the moment. I'm sure it brings a certain amount of satisfaction. You can feel good, and it's not a wrong thing. But it doesn't last. So we have tried the church. Godliness with contentment is great gain, and we have found it hasn't. Well, not for us anyway. And now we're trying the shopping center, and that's full. Churches are empty. That's full. But if you were to interview people coming out of the church 20 years ago, and you interview them coming out of the shopping center today, and tell you, it would be the very same thing that they'd say. We still haven't found what we're looking for. Now you tell me if that is real, or that's relevant to where we're at. As a country? So Paul's advice, though it is from the Spirit of God and it is godly advice, we're not inclined to believe it. The vast majority have walked away on the church on one side and have filled the shopping centres for the other side simply because it hasn't met a felt need. So we're back to Paul because we desperately want something that will give us contentment. We've had 3 sermons on it and we don't want to go to a 4th. So when the Bible talks about godliness, what does it mean? And God, you know something? It's not easy to find a definition. Sometimes Paul just throws these things out, you know, and you have to figure it out for yourself. But anyway, I found a few that may be of help. Right? Godliness. Here's one definition. Conforming to the laws and the wishes of God. Someone's kind of devout and pious. Somebody really has a heart for God. So Paul's saying, that's one example of it. A man who wrote a book many years ago on this very theme says it this way, that the New Testament Greek word conveys the idea of a personal attitude towards God that results in actions that are pleasing to him. That your life is in kind of is in tune with God, and in your heart and in your mind there's a willingness to please God and go his direction. That's what Paul is roughly talking about, godliness. Gives you the idea, okay? And one final example from the book as well is that godliness is this personal attitude towards God. It's what we call devotion to him. But it's always devotion in action. So it is having a heart for God, a willingness to do the things of God. But doing all that doesn't lead to contentment. The answer, sometimes yes. Sometimes, no. But that's only godliness. He said godliness and contentment. So that's only one half of it. So there's something about following God and your attitude towards him and your willingness to please him and willing to do stuff. That's part of it. Contentment is easier to define because we know what discontentment feels like. So it's very easy to handle contentment, isn't it? So contentment looks like this. It's the kind of the state of being mentally or emotionally satisfied with things as they are. Would that describe you today? Being mentally and emotionally satisfied with where things are at for you. And so that I looked up a Bible commentary as well, just to be holy, you know, and just to keep things balanced. And it says it this way. Very nice way I said it. It says that contentment is an internal satisfaction which does not demand change in external circumstances. Isn't that something? So, on one side, godliness is a desire to follow God, to do what he asks, and to do what pleases him. That's part one. Part two, on the other side, is that kind of mental state and emotional state of being satisfied with things as they are. Paul says you put the two of those together and you have gain. Well, slightly bit better. What do you think? Slightly bit better. But this is the advice we give out to others. And remember, the only contentment we're interested in today is our own for the time being. But godliness with contentment is great gain, says the Apostle Paul. And then to help, he says, for you brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But we already know that because enough of us have been to funerals. And we know that when you go, you have to leave it behind. And we know babies don't come with presents. We give babies presents, they come with nothing. They don't even come with clothes. So we understand the concept. But he's saying to us, there's something in this world that wants stuff all of the time. And all he's saying is, that will not bring contentment. It may bring something more to satisfaction, but it won't bring contentment. So he seemed to be saying is, look at verse 8, but if you have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. How many of you would like that for advice if it came in for counseling? I'm not in great shape. I want things to change. And I said, well, if you have food and clothing, sure, you should be happy enough with that. Give me my money back. Isn't that it? We don't want that advice. But the question is there truth in it? Was the Apostle Paul content himself? And the answer is, yes, actually, he was. He didn't always get to that stage. But he got to that stage eventually. Of where he learned is, less actually can be more. Now, that's very easy for me to tell you that, until I have to do it myself. Now, for instance, let me give you an example, contentment. Now, you're in the shopping center. How many of you would be happy just to go into one shop? Now, this is a big shopping center. How many people would like to go into at least 3 or 4 different shops? Now, that's excessive, right? I'm only messing. 3 or 4. When you're in a shopping center, you only go into one shop if you have a specific thing. Otherwise, you're into most of them. I'll see what's in here. I'll see what's in there. That's what we do. And we're not actually knocking that. But what we're realizing is, even when we get the stuff, there is something more to thrill and get it, but after a while, it goes again. And so what he seems to be saying is that in us is that ability to say no to ourselves at times. Say, enough is enough. But I want contentment and the stuff. I don't know about you. I want contentment and the stuff. And what Paul seems to be saying is, actually, it doesn't go that way. You see, I'm beginning to realize something is, contentment is something that comes from within. Actually, it's internal. I would even say it's an inside job. So if you go to church and you're looking for contentment, you won't find it. If you go to the shopping mall or the shopping center and you're looking for contentment there, you're not going to find it there either. Because either you have it inside in you or you don't. You can go to the church content to come out miserable after a sermon like this. I can go to a shopping center to come out miserable as well. Contentment is something that's actually internal. Nobody can actually make you content. Now, people can destroy contentment within you and they can rob it from you, but they can't actually put it in. So maybe there is wisdom what Paul is saying. We're going here, we're going there, we're doing this. No, don't get me wrong. The Lord has given us things in life to enjoy life and make it pleasurable and make it worthwhile. We're not saying give you up that stuff. We're not saying that. That gives you pleasure and a bit of delight, and that's good stuff. That's very different from contentment. Contentment is something that either you have inside and it comes out. But if you got to go looking for it, you ain't going to find it anywhere else, only internal. That's what he seems to be saying. And so what we do as Christians, this church isn't great, I'll go on to the next one, and there's contentment there for a while, but then it goes again. There's a freshness about a change, but eventually it just goes because people are looking all the time for something out there to fill the need in here. I'm beginning to think, actually, the need in here has to be filled from within here. Then all the other stuff out there actually begins to make sense. So contentment. 2 questions, and nearly finished. How do I get it? No, that's something that might interest you. And if I do manage to get it, how do I keep it? No, that's a search, isn't it? That's kind of where I was all this week. How do I get it? And how do I keep it? I asked somebody that knows me well to grade my level of contentment, right? The Apostle Paul, who kind of got there eventually, was very discontented in the beginning, but gradually over a period of time, as he walked with God, got contented, right? And we put him at a 10. And then we put Solomon, who had everything that money could buy and still couldn't find what he was looking for, at 0, right? So Paul is 10. Solomon is at 0, maybe 1, just to be compassionate. And I said to this person, where would you put his eminence, his humbleness, myself here, you know? And they said, about a 5. No, where would you put yourself in contentment? 10, the Apostle Paul. 1 or 0, Solomon. Both men of God, by the way. We're not talking pagan here. I find I'm content with some things and I'm very discontented with others. Is that you? No, maybe you're more like the Apostle Paul, and so you should have been up here. Some things I'm very contented with, some things I'm very discontented with. So my question is, how do I get contentment and how do I keep it? Three things, and then I'm finished. First of all, contentment is a choice. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I have to choose godliness if I want to, and I have to choose contentment. It is not something that happens to me. It's something that I must choose. So there's a choice in it. But most of the time, we don't think that way. We're looking for stuff to actually fill it. I have to choose contentment. I have to choose sometimes, even though I would argue with God that less is more. And, you know, we have been through that at times. But the reality is, following God is a choice. Choosing to be content is a choice. Because the Apostle Paul would say, you know, you brought nothing in, you can take nothing out. So there's a choice in it. But there's more than a choice, because the next thing I discovered you've got to do is, you have to have acceptance. Things are as they are. If you can change it, wonderful. If you can't, then you have to accept it as it is. Otherwise, it will rob you of any bit of contentment that you have. What would rob me of my contentment would be, I'd like to be better than I am. I mean, a better speaker, better at understanding scripture, better at presenting. I would have liked to be the world's greatest drummer, but the Lord had a different plan. And so I had to learn over the years to accept the limitations. There's something that Christians don't like to hear. Limitations that God has placed on me. I'm as good as I'm going to be. I can get a small bit better, but only a slight degree. You know what I mean? But what I have is what I have. My ability, the anointing, whatever the Lord has given me, my understanding, my level of all that, that's acceptance. I have what I have. This is what God has given me. Striving after more is going to rob me of contentment. But I have to choose to accept, to be content with what I have. And you can give that to me. It's something that I have to choose for myself. The last thing in this, so if you have choice and you have acceptance, there's one more to go up there, isn't there? And this is probably the most important one. I think this is where the thing goes pear-shaped for us. Contentment is primarily internal. You can be miserable in Ireland and hop on a plane and go off to the Bahamas and be miserable there. Though the sun is shining. No, you can go off and be miserable here and go to the Bahamas and have a great time. But if you're not happy, not content within, no matter where you are, you're going to bring that discontentment with you. So contentment is primarily internal. But contentment primarily is an inside job. So did the Apostle Paul have it? I think he did. I think he understood the thing of choice that he had to choose. I think he understood the thing of acceptance and where he was at, and he had a rough life. But he understood that contentment was primarily internal. And regardless of the outside circumstances or what was happening, it didn't seem to rob him of it. Though anything he could change, he would change. So contentment, an inside job. The Bible has much more to say about contentment other than the verse the Lord has given me, but this is the only verse he has given me. So I think what he's trying to say to us in closing is, he understands our search. He understands you can come to church and not be contented. He can understand that you can go to the shopping center and get stuff and still not be contented. He understands that. He can understand even the fact that we can understand great spiritual truth and the atonement and all the stuff that Jesus has done for us and still say, I haven't found what I'm looking for. But back to us, he'd say, godliness with contentment is great gain. At the end of the day, I either choose that truth and accept it and go with it, or remain hopping mad, discontented with God, and go on my merry way and try and find contentment somewhere else. But I reckon if it could be found somewhere else, I'd have found it by now. So in closing, are you happy with your lot? What does it actually take to make you content? God comes in front and says, okay, I want to make you content. You tell me, what does it take? Because all of us have something in there. I am content when? I am content if. But the when and the if, most of the time in life, you can't control. It's great if you can. But when you can't, what do you do then? As I have walked with the Lord down through the years, I have had a level of contentment as I've understood scriptural truth. And it lasts for a while. It comes and goes. I have a level of contentment that I get when I listen to music. But the Lord is continually teaching me that actually is quite broad. I can be content in places that I wouldn't have been content in 5 years ago. And not great fun out of. I read some sermons yesterday afternoon by Martin Lloyd Jones, preached in 1956 on Ezekiel. Wonderful, absolutely wonderful. It brought a measure of contentment to me. But I think, in closing, the Lord knows the state of our level of contentment. He knows the question is, what does it take to make you content? And as you have gone after it, has it actually worked for you? I think the place to start is to ask the Lord to help us in some way to apply this godliness with contentment. Because it's just a verse that's up in the back of a wall for most people. And it's not a reality that actually works. So I think, like you two, we could at least be honest and say, Lord, we're trying that, but we still haven't found what we're looking for. I think even if we start there, we will be real with God. Is that a fair enough? I'll pray. Lord, we live in a world of where there's a great deal of restlessness. We acknowledge it, Lord, it has been there since, Lord, the fall of Adam and Eve. And Lord, people have tried to fill it with all kinds of things, and us as well. But Lord, the advice that Paul gave to Timothy, Jesus, has come from you. And Lord, we know that when you lived on this earth, there's never a mention of you, Lord, being discontented, even though it was a fallen world. And our prayer, Lord, is we would like to see an increase in contentment. And Lord, we're asking that you, Lord, we know we have a choice to make, and only us can make that. We know, Lord, that we have to accept certain things. But Lord, help us, Lord, with that continuous restlessness, that emptiness, Lord, and that seeking the outside stuff to fill it. Lord, knowing in our heart and soul, Lord, that in a few days we're empty again. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, we have done 3 sermons on it. Lord, there's no more I can say in it for the time being. But, Lord, help us to be content with what we have, knowing, Lord, that we're going to have to leave everything behind us anyway. May we increase in godliness. May we increase in contentment. And may we be able to guide others to it, Lord, when we have a measure of contentment that is worth something to somebody else. And all of God's people said, let's come up.